The total prize money is $1 billion. Can you believe that?
Goodness me.
I know. So it's worth taking part.
But the problem is that footballers, they're not machines. They'll break down next season, won't they?
Poor little souls.
If he's playing... Well... but, you know, intensity football matches.
Yeah, they're not even getting a week off.
They're not. They can't even go on holiday. It's absolutely ridiculous, isn't it? And Man United are in Malaysia. What are they doing? Selling shirts.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 4 o'clock. Hamas is examining the detail of a new ceasefire plan for Gaza being presented by Donald Trump and his Middle East envoy Steve Witkoff. It's being passed on to the organisation after Israel agreed to the proposal nearly 20 months since the IDF began attacking the territory over the 7th of October abductions and killings. The UK's Foreign Secretary David Lammy is being cautiously optimistic.
We have been saying for months that we need to get back to a ceasefire. That means that the Israeli government needs to accept one, and of course Hamas need to accept one. We've been working with our US colleagues. I hope that we're about to see a breakthrough.
The Governor of the Bank of England is welcoming government efforts to forge closer ties with the European Union. Speaking in Dublin, Andrew Bailey said officials should work to minimise the effects of Brexit on trade. The Governor of the Kursk region of Russia is claiming Ukraine has launched a nighttime drone attack. They say a hospital and apartment buildings have been damaged. At the same time, more fighting's being reported across the border in the Sumy region of Ukraine, with some areas changing hands constantly. A federal appeals court has reinstated the most sweeping of President Trump's trade tariffs following the White House appeal against the decision to block them. It's after a trade court ruled he exceeded his authority by using historic laws to impose the duties. Many will now remain in place while the legal challenge runs its course. The CBS journalist Brad Gibson has been telling LBC more unwelcome uncertainty is now being created.
It poses real unexpected challenges for businesses everywhere, but especially in America. So let me give you a quick example. Home builders in the state of Michigan. Tariffs and economic uncertainty are slowing housing projects, and they're increasing costs, and that hinders Michigan from meeting its housing goals.
The government says it's dedicating more than £1 billion to repairing crumbling schools and NHS buildings across England. £750 million will go to hospitals and mental health units with problems including leaking pipes, poor ventilation and electrical faults. And in sport, Lando Norris will hope to build on last weekend's win at the Monaco Grand Prix during practice this afternoon ahead of the Spanish Grand Prix. The British driver trails his McLaren teammate Oscar Piastri in the Formula One Drivers' Championship. LBC weather, more patchy rain for Northern Wales and also Central and Northern England for Friday. Occasional showers for Northern Ireland plus Southern and Eastern Scotland, but mostly dry elsewhere. We'll see a high of 24 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Tim Daly.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Ian Payne.
Four a.m.
So thank you to all of you. The jury has consulted, they've met, and they've come to a decision. And
we're 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
And we have a winner. And it's Michael from wherever he was with his bird impression and Thunderbirds. You can't really get a better mix than that. So that listener 300 solved. So Michael is listener 300 because of the coveted award. We got to 309 now. But the coveted 00 numbers, 1, 2 and 3, are very coveted. So, yeah, if you make a big contribution to the show, you know, you get a reward. And what do points make? Prizes. There you go. You see? So well done, Michael. You're kind of etched into history now. So you are listener 300. Congratulations. And, thank you for being you. There's a new Banksy, but we don't know where it is. You see, we've got a Banksy near us. If I'm trying to impress people, I say I live in Kew. If I don't really care what they think, I say I live in Brentford. because I'm sort of on the edge. Q's a little bit more. Q Bridge, just a little bit more expensive than we are. I'd love that. There's a flat, oh, it's near, it's called the, there's a restaurant called Top of the Eight or something, when it's E-I-G-H-T, and it's right next to there. You've got these luxury flats overlooking the Thames at Q Bridge. They're lovely. God, I'd love a penthouse front there, but apparently I can't do it yet. So we've got a Banksy near us, and it's a stork delivering a child. It's got some political message. I can't remember what it was. And they're renovating the house. So they've got scaffolding and plastic sheets all over it. And I just thought, typical, that's all people care about is money. So they're doing up their house. And then Sam the Wise, being wise, said they're probably cashing in on the fact that they've got a Banksy and it'll sort of treble its price. It would, wouldn't it? If you wanted to buy a house, it's right by Kew Green. It's by the Greyhound pub, if you're ever in there. You come over Kew Bridge, going south, and it's like the first building after the river, if that makes sense, on the left. And it's got, you won't see anything at the moment. It's all got old tarpaulings on it. And it's just, it's fantastic. I just love the simplicity of what he does. So what's he done here? Because we disagree. Gen Z kind of go, they just go, I say Banksy, genius. They just go, meh, which I still think, you like him. Martha, you like him. Okay, it's you and Alex. I don't understand it. You say, oh, I know loads of artists who are better than him. It's like the boat race. What are you on about? It's like the boat race. Banksy? Really? Sounds of yawning coming through my headphones. Really? You don't think Banksy is a genius? He's fine. Well, thank you, Martha, for being on the same pathway as me. But frankly, I'm not angry. I'm disappointed. You've let me down. You've let the school down. What's that joke about? What did the teacher say to the inflatable boy when he came to the inflatable school with a pin? You've let yourself down. You let me down. Oh, dear. Banksy's latest piece of graffiti art has been revealed to the world, but where it was painted remains a mystery for now. He's like McCavity, isn't he? McCavity's a mystery cat. You know that poem? No, oh, it's a great poem. Images posted on the elusive artist's Instagram depict a lighthouse stenciled on a drab beige wall, along with the words, I want to be what you saw in me. You see? It's thoughtful. It makes you think. What does the stork mean? No, but it's... No, I can't remember what it means, but there's obviously some political... I'm going to look it up. Look it up. Go and look it up. It's a stork, Kew Bridge, Banksy. Have a look and see what it... I don't know. He's delivering a child, in a terrible world or something. I don't know. Images posted on, I want to be what you saw in me. Martha, what do you think that could mean? A cryptic message from Banksy. I want to be what you saw in me. Is it a lost love? Yeah? I want to be the person you fell in love with, is what he's saying, I think. Could it be a love poem? The person, yes. What's that line what's that line with Helen Hunt and Jack Nicholson, and he's trying to be nice, and he just says, you make me want to be a better person. And it's like, he delivers it so well, and you kind of go, oh, what a lovely thing to say to somebody. Unlike a lighthouse, the post gives little away as to the artwork's location. A second wider shot showing two people walking their dogs offers little more. Geoguessers, I didn't even know that was a thing. Have you heard of geoguessers? Yes, you have. You've played GeoGuessr. What the heck? What is GeoGuessr? Yeah. It's a game based on Google Maps. Yeah. You're placed in a location. Yes. Right. So hold on a minute. So I get GeoGuessr. So I get given a computer screen of somewhere on Google Maps. Right. From clues that you find in the environment. But doesn't it say where you are? Because, yeah, what? No. Set it up for me, because I've never played this game. GeoGuessers. This is the great thing. You know, you work with your kids. You don't win it. As Alan Hansen famously said, you don't win anything with kids. And then Man United won the title after having lost to Villa in the first game of the season. I remember that so clearly. Geo-guessers on social media have speculated that the street art may lurk in Marseille in the south of France, while others debate how to interpret the work's meaning. Another image of the art circulating online shows a blurred person riding a scooter in front of the piece. Oh, yes, I heard a very pedantic caller to Clive this morning saying, why do the police always call them mopeds? They're not mopeds, because mopeds, by the very definition, have pedals. This is, they're scooters. He was getting really angry. They should be called scooters, he says. Oh, so funny. Getting angry at 2:30 in the morning. Why? What are you doing? There's a guy, I see him every morning, and you do get some odd characters. There's a poor homeless woman crying. There's another man waiting for me to turn a corner so I couldn't see him having a wee against the wall, you know, that kind of thing. And there's a guy I see every single morning at 2:45, and he looks like he's on a hiking holiday in the Alps. He's got a sort of one of those Palestinian scarves around his neck. He's wearing shorts and hiking boots, and he's got two, they're like ski poles in either hand, and he's like marching briskly along. I guess he's doing some exercise, but at 3 a.m, why would you do that? I don't know. So we don't know where this thing is. Ah, right. So now you have put a picture. We're going to play geo-guessing. So, yeah, we've got a play. So you've given me a location. It's a railway station. It looks like it's France. Embarque. It's France or Switzerland. Embarque todos cartos. Okay, it's a railway station. Oh, no, it's an airport, isn't it? Is it an airport? It's an airport in Saida, so it's in Spain. So it's Madrid. Is it Madrid? Oh, he gets it! Am I saying Madrid? Yes, because it's the most obvious one that you'd pick. So basically, you put that on, and then you press guess. Okay, and it's in Brazil. Saida is Portuguese as well, is it? Okay, fine. Oh, no, I'll never get that. That's very good. We've got another one. So we've got another. That's France. That's so obviously Paris. That's got to be Paris because I recognise the architecture. They do have fine architecture in Paris, don't they? But their flats are... It's a great game. We like that. Thanks very much. 1 kilometre away. Thanks very much. 4,997 points I've got for that. And one more. Okay, that looks like, lots and lots of scooters. No, it's Thailand, because it's got that writing. It's Far East, it's Thailand, and it's, of course, Bangkok. Oh, it was Cambodia! I like this. My former girlfriend and I, we used to play, when we were just bored, we'd play it all night. We'd just say capitals. Can you name the capital of? And also, can you name, there is one letter in the alphabet which doesn't allow you to guess the name of a country. Do you know what that is? Can you name a country for every letter of the alphabet? You say you can't. Well, you can't, because there's one letter that there isn't one, unless I've completely lost it. So anyway, you can have a guess at that. It's all sorts of games going on at the moment. You know, I was talking about raising the price of your property because you've got a Banksy on the wall. You know, you would covet it, wouldn't you? You would make sure it's enclosed. They put Perspex over it so no one could rub it out. And now they're renovating the house. I wonder if they are doing it to make it more valuable. That really wouldn't surprise me. If you had a Banksy, you'd sell your house, wouldn't you? Would you buy a house that had a Banksy on the side of it? No, you two are just, you're just limp biscuits, aren't you? You two. What are you like? Ugh, meh. The world is meh. So this is The Times, obviously, because they're brilliant. Who's buying London's most expensive new flats? So, rich people. I've often wondered as I drive or cycle or walk through London, and I think all these beautifully appointed flats are being built. Like Battersea, for example. Battersea is completely different to how it was when I first moved to London. It's remarkable. It's so gorgeous. It's got these, you know, they've turned the Battersea Power Station into these luxury flats and shops and these wonderful luxury flats. And I'm thinking to myself, I earn quite well, but I can't get anywhere near owning one of these flats. Who is earning? Who is? There are 250,000 millionaires, apparently, in London. OK, and they must all be owning flats. And even that's not enough for the number of flats. So the Times has done what I've always wanted to do. They've found out who are buying all these luxury flats. So Adam Clayton, who is Adam Clayton? Anyone? Come on, Adam Clayton, bass player in a very famous band, possibly the most famous band in the world. Adam Clayton. Come on, boys, your knowledge is threadbare at best, moth-eaten at worst. Come on, Adam Clayton. No, you too. Adam Clayton. They're crap. I want to pick you up and bash your head against a telephone. You boys, you two are crap. What is wrong with you? You think Oasis are rubbish as well, don't you? Yeah. Well, who do you like? Prince. Oh, what? The artist formerly known as Mince. Yes. And that's it. Prince. Right. You two are crap. Banksy's rubbish. Just get a life. Do something. Go out. Actually, you are going out a lot today. More than me. Yeah, more than me this week. So who are these people? So Adam Clayton has been discovered as buying a multi-millionaire. Ruby Wax, when she's not in therapy, she's buying. Formula One driver Lance Stroll. Well, his father's a billionaire, isn't he? Lance Stroll's dad. And the daughter of a murdered French billionaire. So the most exclusive new blocks in the capital have extraordinary price tags. I haven't heard of any of these. They're just called something iconic. The Bryanston, it's called, somewhere in London, at Bullhocker Flats. Ever heard of the Bryanston? If you don't live in those supercharged rich worlds, you wouldn't, you know. The Whiteley, have you heard of the Whiteley? No, I've heard of the Whiteley Shopping Centre near Queensway, but I don't think that's probably it. The Old War Office, or OWO, as it's called. Ever heard of that one? The Old War Office. You've heard of that, have you? I don't know where that is. Park Modern. Have you heard of that? Never heard of it. And the Glebe. What are these places? Are among the most exclusive new blocks in the capital, but the names of the owners of these properties, mainly due to colossal delays at the land registry, have remained a mystery until now. Wow. So that's what's happening. It's basically the crown for the most expensive deal goes to an American couple, Lee Broughton and Christine Broadhurst Taylor, heiress to the late Jack Taylor, one of the US's richest men, who founded the hire company Enterprise, bought a penthouse in 2023 in London. How much do you think they paid for their penthouse in London? Just a flat at the top of it. 68 million quid for a flat. It's just after 4:15.
This is LBC.
If you've been injured in an accident at work, you could be entitled to thousands of pounds in compensation. Talk to Harris Fowler today. For over 25 years, we've helped people who've been injured at work, in a warehouse, a factory, on site, or anywhere. With a 97% success rate, call the award-winning Harris Fowler now. 0800 213 214. It's no win, no fee, no risk. Harris Fowler, the personal injury solicitor.
Where would we be without the curiosity to explore?
It takes us to new places.
It even got us to the moon.
And now there's never been a better time to satisfy your curiosity about electric cars. With great offers in our award-winning range, including the Ioniq 5 and Ioniq 6, available with £2,000 deposit contribution and 0% APR. Discover more at Hyundai.co.uk. Ends 30th of June 25. Finance subject to status. Hyundai Motor UK Limited is a credit broker, not a lender. Terms apply.
This is LBC, leading Britain's conversation with Ian Payne.
Yeah, I love random things. I don't know why you've sent me this, Peter. I sat next to the late Sarah Harding's boyfriend at university, all right? He produced a few of their hits. It's got to be that song they did when they are in a cage with light bulbs. That drum and bass twang was fat, with an F, not PH. What are you talking about, Peter? Did something I say, or are you thinking of another programme? Maybe another radio station? I've actually had texts to other radio presenters, not even in this building, They're the best. Someone I used to work with at the BBC, and you sent a message to me for him. So I passed it on. Oh, dear. Lee says, Ian, I'm on the way to the airport and can finally listen to you live. I listen to send me to sleep at night. Thank you. That cockerel does my nut in. Works in the morning. Yeah. Hi, Ian. I agree with the kids, says Martin. Yeah, but you're Martin with a Y. Why do you spell your name with Martin with a Y? Just be not. Oh, is it Welsh? Is it a Welsh? Are you Welsh? Do you deserve a Y rather than an I? Come on, tell me. Why are you called Martin with a Y? Does anyone ever ask you that? Say, why you've got a Y in your name? Ian, I agree with the kids. Banksy is rubbish. You too are rubbish. An Oasis are rubbish. And I'm 50, so a proper Generation X. A Gex. What's a Gex? I don't know what that means. What? Generation X. Okay. What? You can't... You see, you really think Banksy's rubbish. Don't you think that he's got a talent? You think he's fine. I think he's genius. I do. I think lots of people... I think James O'Brien's a genius. I think there are people I know who I just think they're a genius. I'm not going to ask you about that. But I don't want you to incriminate yourself. But to say Banksy's rubbish, you can't say U2 are rubbish. Possibly the most popular band, rock band in the world, U2. And you guys and their crap. They're just not... I don't know what you're doing. I really won't. Oh, dear. Fat is always spelt P-H. Quite right. I think we should change it. It's one of the few words in the English language that I want to change to silent letters. Because I think we should... I'm uncluttering my life. We should declutter the English language. And we shouldn't... The O-U-G-H has about five different sounds, doesn't it? Thorough, through... bough of a tree, you know, all that. And you kind of find, if you're learning English, how on earth you... So instead of having... I'm all for simplification. Y-O-U should just be the letter U. That's for me, like you too. It seems absolutely obvious to me, but fat is the one word that I would actually change to make it more complicated. Rather than F-A-T, I'd always have it P-H. I don't know why I like fat. Roll a fat one. Wait, I don't know why I do that. Anyway, have you been out for your ciggy? Yeah, you have. Oh, that was quick. You had the giant Rizzlers, I see, today. Yeah? A fat one, a very long... Well, it's a lot... I wouldn't call it a fat one. I'd call it a long one, you know. Right. Sandra's in Chertsey. Sandra, you want to recommend something for a 5 a.m. sort of chorus alarm? We have actually done this, but no, I'm keen to listen to you, darling.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I did phone half an hour ago when Clive was on, saying there was something I could say, but I wanted to wait for you. Now, this is a bit complicated.
Did you custard pie Clive? Did you?
Did I what?
Custard pie. Basically, you just sort of go, someone's really interested, and you just go, nah, put your hand, talk to the face because the hand, well, talk to the hand because the face ain't listening. It's one of those kind of things. You get custard pie, do you know? When someone, like the old comedies in black and white. Anyway, go on.
No, that's complicated.
No, if you ring up Clive and say, hi, Clive, I don't want to talk to you, you've custard pied him.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah. Well, I only say I got Martha and she suggested I wait for you.
Martha. She's having another break.
What?
She's having another break now. What does she do?
I see you've had a winner, but as for that gentleman with the bird fan, my bird could take him on in that. I think my bird would win over that one. If he was talking, if it was morning, well, it is morning.
Do you want to do a bird impression for us, Sandra?
No, not me. I'll let him do it. Listen,
sure. You said you were good.
I did not. Listen, I've been hearing a wonderful sound, a new version of. And it's not Hallelujah, it's a new version by Lucy Thomas. And to research it for you, I looked it up, and it's also Alexandra Burt. But I like Lucy Thomas. But mind you, I looked up the lyrics, and I was quite shocked. There's something about being tied to a kitchen chair, and something quite violent. And the funny thing is, I watched some fashion videos I'm quite addicted to from Italy, Milan, and they also interject this stuff with the Pope, because he's supposed to be quite handsome to a Pope, and they keep playing this wonderful, lovely, pretty version of Hallelujah.
Wait, what are we talking about, Sandra? This is more. This is even more confused than my tangled brain. You're talking about Hallelujah for 5 a.m.
Yeah, well, it's not the old. Yeah, it's not the regular one. This is such a. And you must have heard it. It's a new version. Very. It's not very religious.
What, the old Leonard Cohen song? Hallelujah.
Yeah,
that one.
Well, somebody out there must know what I'm talking about. Alexander Burke's done it, and Lucy Thomas. You try a burst of it.
Who's Lucy Thomas?
Well, I don't know, but she comes on singing Hallelujah. But
how do you know her name if you don't know who she is?
My videos, which are Vatican and the Pope, they show you a line saying the name of the song. It's Jenny Bonita by Italian stuff, but this is Hallelujah, but it's completely different. If you heard it, you'd absolutely.
All right, well, we've got to dig it out. So it's Hallelujah sung by Lucy who?
Lucy Thomas.
Could you?
I said, you're so woke, you won't like it. So I thought.
I'm so woke.
You are.
Do you want to hear it?
Me, yeah.
Yeah, here we go. Here's, ladies and gentlemen, Hallelujah.
What?
No, this is Hallelujah by the Happy Mondays. The boys are playing
that's
a trick on us,
word.
Sandra. They think that's funny, but they think that you two and Banksy are rubbish. But they like this nonsense.
What?
I know.
You haven't got them right. What?
I know. That's the Happy Mondays. The boys are... They're off there. What's it? Come on, boys. What... can we get Lucy Thomas and Hallelujah, please?
Or Alexandra Burke would
Or Alexandra Burke would be a good one. Anyway, there we go.
Anyway, I can't think what the word is for multiple religions and...
What?
And we're still talking.
What are we talking about now?
Well, you know what I said, you're woke. You know when I said about Julius Caesar was on my birthday and I said, what's that funny squawking noise?
You make me laugh, Sandra. I don't know why.
You laugh like a hyena.
I do. Here we go. Who's this one? Is this Alexandra Burke or Lucy Thomas? Here's Lucy Thomas with Hallelujah.
I heard there was a secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do ya? Well, it goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall and the major lift, the baffled king composing Hallelujah.
All together now.
Hallelujah.
Do you think this is crap, boys? Do you think this song's rubbish?
Hallelujah.
No, they're swaying. They've got their lighters in the air.
Hallelujah.
Anyway, that's Lucy Todd. Was she someone in Britain's Got Talent or X Factor or something?
That is somebody perhaps on Talent, but it wasn't Lucy Thomas.
Oh, that wasn't Lucy Thomas.
No, it wasn't. I'm sure of it.
Well,
absolutely.
They tell me it is.
That was with candles.
Unless
it's...
Hallelujah by Lucy Thomas, the official music video. I've got it in front of me.
Oh, well, perhaps it sounded different on my videos, but the words are very strange.
She's sort of a modern Charlotte Church, isn't she? I can imagine her singing in a chapel. Somewhere.
You should read the lyrics. Someone's tied to a kitchen chair.
All right.
And
steady.
Well, no, not quite as bad as that.
Oh, okay.
And she cuts off his hair. That must be a
do you,
reference.
Okay, two things, Sandra. Do you like Banksy?
Yeah, okay. Why? What about him?
Well, because I think he's a genius and the boys just go, meh. What about you two? Do you think they're a good band?
I'm not so into you two, I'm afraid.
Okay.
I only like music which really gets to me, you know.
Yeah.
I get it.
I get it. There are some beautiful medleys. Listen, I've got to go, Sandra. It's lovely to speak to you. Stay in touch. Thank you so much. Bit of tennis news. We've got three British men into the third round of the French Open. Do you know the last time we did that? You know, 1968. Three of them. And two of them are playing each other. So, Draper's... I can't remember who Draper's playing, but Fearnley is going to be playing... what's his name? Cameron Norrie. And they're going to be playing each other. So we've got one Brit through to the fourth round, which hasn't happened for a while. Why did you think he's a Formula One? I don't know. He's a Kiwi, really. I don't know how we've claimed him. You listen to him talking and he's about as broad Kiwi as you could get. In fact, most of our cricket team have come from somewhere else. I was listening to Dawid Malan talking yesterday and I thought he was Welsh, but he's South African as well. And Martin has got in touch saying, oh God, it's happened. Ian, Martin, yeah. My name is spelt with a Y, Martin with a Y, because that's what my mum gave me. Okay. And you two are not rock and never have been. I give up. Honestly, I'm losing the will here. Rock is AC/DC, who are way better and bigger than you two. Yeah, they probably are. But I would call them heavy metal as opposed to rock. I think you two are the classic rock band. Whatever that means, but it doesn't matter, does it? Really. Right, so the thing that we're going to talk about is a waxwork sausage roll. Just think of that for a moment while we listen to the news headlines with Tim Daly.
Hamas is examining the detail of a new ceasefire plan for Gaza being presented by Donald Trump and his Middle East envoy Steve Witkoff. It's being passed on to the organisation after Israel agreed to the proposal nearly 20 months since the IDF began attacking the territory. The governor of the Kursk region of Russia is claiming Ukraine has launched a nighttime drone attack. They say a hospital and apartment buildings have been damaged. And the government says it's dedicating more than £1 billion to repairing crumbling schools and NHS buildings across England. £750 million will go to hospitals and mental health units with problems including leaking pipes, poor ventilation and electrical faults. LBC weather, more patchy rain for northern Wales and also central and northern England during Friday. Occasional showers as well for Northern Ireland and the south and east of Scotland, but mainly dry elsewhere with a high of 24 degrees.
LBC.
How do you grow a perfectly sweet strawberry? Well, it takes more than just soil and water, but time, care, and the best conditions to flourish. At Tesco, we keep every strawberry warm during the day and cold during the night to ensure they develop the sweetest flavour. It may seem like a little thing, but to us, it's everything. Now, if you don't mind, the strawberries are sleeping. Tesco. Every little helps.
At EDF, we don't just encourage you to use less electricity. We actually reward you for it. That's why, when you use less during peak times on weekdays, we give you free electricity on Sundays. How you use it is up to you. EDF. Change is in our power. Households who reduce their weekday peak electricity usage by 50% can earn up to 16 hours of free electricity per week, subject to fair usage. For all T's and C's, visit edfenergy.com/r-power.
This is LBC with Ian Payne. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
Dear, oh dear, oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. So what... So what do the boys snack on, you know? What do you think they have when they're watching telly and they're just a bit peckish in the afternoon? What do they snack on? Grapes. For God's sake. Seriously. Grapes. Grapes, unless you're turning them into wine, are the most pointless fruit. They don't taste of anything. Raisins, yeah. You know what's the worst thing? Is dates. And they only ever come in those little sort of balsa wood boxes shaped like a canal boat at Christmas. You love a date. Oh, disgusting. Really? Figs. I don't think I've ever had a fig. I've had a fig roll. Would that be real fig inside it? Those biscuits. That's real fig. It's all right. Your tastes are so odd. Don't you like Doritos and chips? Yeah, you do. And, well, the Greg sausage roll, we're coming to that. I've never had one. Maybe I should, because they're iconic Britain. How have you never had a Greg sausage roll? I don't know. Am I from the past? Yes. Yes, I'm a wizened old hag from the past. I'm one of the three witches in Macbeth. When shall we three meet again in thunder, lightning and in rain? I lived in Lancashire. Yeah, but they didn't have Gregs when I was in the 1980s. I don't think they did they? Anyway, Greg's the bakery. I'll talk about them in a second. So a couple of things. The thing that I've beginning to get quite a taste for are 1951, obviously wrong. Are those Korean sort of like hot dogs? Have you seen them? Oh my God, they are just delicious. They're quite pricey, but they're really, it's street food. But it's made. But there's one just by my sandwich shop. It's never open early enough for me. But my God, they're wonderful, wonderful little snacks. Snacks from around the world. What educate us. What's a good thing to snack on that's not a ginster pie, which is what I... Bombay mix. Nah, that's pointless again. Pointless food. Noodles, that's a proper meal. Got to cook it, haven't you? Can't I just get a pot that just heats up? I open it and it just cooks it. You can get those now, can't you? Anyway, that's something else. So that's one thing, those delicious things. The other thing is, I had this debate this morning. As an England football fan, do I have a right to know why somebody has decided to retire? Because we're not being told. So Mary Earps, who's the England women's goalkeeper, earlier this week just announced her retirement from international football with immediate effect. No explanation, nothing. So Wiegmann, the manager, did a press conference yesterday. And was the first question, why is Mary Earps retiring just ahead of the Euros, which you're defending? And the manager says, well, it's a private conversation and I'm not going to let you know. I'm sorry, as an England fan, I demand the right to know why she's retiring. It could be that she's just not been selected, or it could be that maybe she's got a medical problem. And if that was the case, I don't know. You see, your private medical records are just that, private. And I understand why they are, and no one has the right to know. But if the goalkeeper of your national side suddenly decides to retire, do I have the right to know why? What do you think, boys? No, they're shaking their heads. Because I'm old school, surprise, surprise, and I think we do. We deserve to know. I'm sorry, we did. You're the England goalkeeper, so you're famous, and we'd like to know. If it's really... She's in her 30s. I just want to know why. She's a great goalkeeper. Why is she not being, you know, was she selected? The manager said, I wanted her in my team. So I'm assuming, unless she's telling us porky pies, that she was chosen to play. So I don't really get it. Maybe not. Right. What sums up Britain to you? What's iconic about Britain? The Spice Girls, maybe? I see they're trying to do an Avatar... You know how ABBA kind of, what's it called when you're born again? Phoenix. No, they reinvented this. Anyway, the word basically means that they kind of became avatars on stage looking like they did in the 1970s, basically, ABBA. And I'm told that I didn't go and see it, but I'm told that the actual performance is fantastic and everyone loved it. It was like seeing them live. So apparently... The Spice Girls are going to do the same thing. Zigga Zig Avatars, says the Sun. The Spice Girls' former manager is... This is Simon Fuller, isn't it? Yeah. Is in talks for them to reunite as avatars, just like ABBA. Simon Fuller has pitched the idea to the band, as he did with the Swedish pop superstars. It would see holograms of Jerry Halliwell Horner, as she's called now, Mel's B and C, Emma Bunton, and Victoria Beckham playing their biggest hits. Would you go and see the Spice Girls as avatars? I think there'd be an audience for it, don't you? They just won't get back together. I gather Victoria Beckham is the problem. Well, I say problem. She just wants nothing to do with that anymore. She's moved on because she's a fashion designer. So, what else? What makes you think of Britain when you're away? When I was doing my gap year in New Zealand, the thing I missed most about Britain is pubs. Because I know they're all declining now, et cetera, et cetera. But they just don't do pubs anywhere else quite like ours. They just don't do it. So, off the top of my head, oh, Poland do. Do they? Best pubs in the world in Poland. Really? Okay, fair enough. So, let me have a look at... what was I doing here? I want that one. I was going to talk about this sausage roll. It's an iconic sausage roll from Greg's. How long's Greg's been around? Could you look it up, Al? 1951 they started. Oh, right. OK, I wasn't aware of them. A sculpture of a Greg's sausage roll is to be unveiled at Madame Tussauds Waxworks Museum. I think it's still the number one tourist attraction in Britain. Madame Tussauds, it certainly was. The world famous, this is a massive queue every day. Have you been to Madame Tussauds? That's meh. to be honest. I'm sorry. It's not as good as the one... What's our favourite one in Plymouth? Yarmouth. Oh, my God. Have a look at that. The most unlike waxworks you've ever seen. Look at the David Beckham one. It's just the worst. It looks like they've all melted a bit. The world-famous attraction has said the pastry-cloaked processed meat cylinder... Is that what we're calling it? Is the first food item to go on display in its own right. It elevates the snack to the level of a British cultural icon, sitting alongside celebrities such as Shakespeare and David Attenborough. Greg said the company sells 1 million rolls every day. Joe Kinsey is studio manager at Madame Tussauds and oversees a team of artists responsible for creating and maintaining the lifelike models. She said that Greg's sausage roll was synonymous with British culture. What? Is that Cliff Richard? God, the Yarmouth. Where are you going to get the clothes from? The Yarmouth exhibit is just... It looks more like Michael Jackson than it does Cliff Richard. It really... Oh, dear. They make me laugh. So what do you think? What would you put in Madame Tussauds as an iconic exhibit? It could be somebody. It could be something inanimate. So, sausage roll, okay. Pint. Yeah? Mr. Blobby. Okay, fine. Yeah, Mr. Blobby. David Attenborough. Shakespeare. Judi Dench. Judi Dench. Yeah? Who else would go in there? Can't think. Who's that? Don't tell me that's Hitler. Oh, my God. Oh, dear, oh, dear. Oh, dear, dear. That does look like... They all look like Michael Jackson, don't they? After a bit. Yes. Oh. By the way, I was just looking at that, and it looks like he's wearing a wig, which got me thinking, because we were talking about this. Apparently, Michael Gove has said that Donald Trump has a weave, which, as I understand it, is a sort of a thatch that is sewn into your head. So it never comes up. Because there's that famous clip, isn't there? He's with one of the Jimmys, the late night talk show host. I think it's Jimmy Kimmel, who basically, he says, I've always wanted to mess up your head. Could you mind? And Donald Trump says, go on, go ahead, go ahead. And he does it. And all this sort of hair falls to one side. And he, honestly, he's like Jason Statham bald underneath there. Absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. So you can understand why he doesn't... He doesn't sort of do that again, to be honest. But, oh, I can't unsee it, to be honest. So, yeah. Do you have a... Has anyone got a... what do you call it? A weave. Yes. A lot of women have weaves, don't they? I remember the very first time I was... this sounds a bit creepy, but... I was stroking someone's hair. And I felt this knot... all these knots, and I was thinking, what's that? And that's a hair extension, isn't it? Where you just sort of knot them in, and it's really off-putting. Sorry, if you're listening, girls, it's really just... Anyway, so what for you is iconic? It's about time I read some bag of chips, says Brian. Yeah. You two are brilliant. They're not crap, says Chris. I agree. Morning, and I think you remember Thurston's Bakery. I do, actually. Greg's bought Greg's many years ago and the food went downhill and the prices went up, unfortunately. But you are a rival, though, Ian, because you are Ian the Sarnie man. Is salt and pepper chicken still your best sale? I bet you don't sell a million of them every day, do you, Greg's? Nick says, things that should be put in Madame Tussauds, Danger Mouse and Bill and Ben. Yeah, too old, I think. I think to rhubarb and custards. Are they iconic British totems and symbols? Really? Mr. Ben. Yeah, bit niche. Think of something more. There's going to be something more... Oh, I don't know. The Cotswolds. I don't know how you would put the Cotswolds into Madame Tussauds. Might be a bit big, but you never know. Banksy. Yes. And you too. No, they're Irish. Oh. Banksy. What would it look like? Well, it would be like a figure with a cloth over it. So he would continue with his air of mystery, like McCavity. Yeah? I bet I like Coldplay. I do like Coldplay. Why? What's wrong with Coldplay now? Yellow. What's wrong with that? Oh, look at them all laughing. Oh, they're not cutting edge enough. Too soft. What do we call it? Soft. Speaking of soft, soft crime. That's British. I don't know how you would do it. How would you put the Midsummer Murders into the Waxwork Museum? That's what I would do. So we love what did Clive call it? Soft crime, I think it's called. Cozy crime, thank you. Cozy crime, the Midsummer Murders, the most dangerous village in the world. It's worse than Johannesburg, isn't it? You know, or Ukraine. Well, but it's you know, the Midsummer Murders thing. I don't know. We worked out how many they were, and it was like, you know, one a week murders, and just how did people die in strange ways? You know, how many garden accidents can you have? So when we come back after this short break, and we'll play you a teaser for a book. I managed about 40 pages of it, and I thought, this is rubbish. What am I doing? Anyway, Steven Spielberg loved this book so much, written by a television presenter, that he immediately bought the rights. God knows how much he paid for it. And the new trailer is out, and we'll hear that after this.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Here's the tale of the tape. In the blue corner, you have a fairly burly 51-year-old police officer, Stephen Smith, who has a pepper spray and extendable nightstick. With him is the 36-year-old police officer, Rachel Camato, who has a taser. Both of them have stab vests. In the other, you have a 92-year-old man in a wheelchair with one leg and a 4-inch butter knife. I warn you, this is distressing.
Donald, put it down! Taser!
This is a day of utter shame for the police. The fact that they were cleared at Southwark Crown Court I find truly extraordinary, but they will now face disciplinary proceedings. It can only hope that they're both booted out.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Back this morning from 7. Listen on your radio, on Global Player, and the new LBC app.
Hillary's mid-season sale just got even better. Get up to 40% off hundreds of made-to-measure styles. Plus, get an extra 10% off absolutely everything. That's 10% off all blinds, curtains and shutters. And an extra 10% off our new range of awnings and pergolas, with measuring and fitting always included. Book your free in-home appointment today. Visit hillarys.co.uk. Hurry, Hillary's extra 10% off everything must end 2nd of June. Conditions apply.
Hey, Harry.
Hello, mate.
Got any tips?
Sometimes, pal, your best bet is not to bet at all. And BetVictor's app makes it really easy, simple and safe to do so. They've got lots of helpful features to help you manage your time and your spend online. But it also really helps that I can't find my blooming phone half the time.
Yeah, that does really help.
I don't even know where it is now. I can hear it, but I can't see it. Sandra?
Listen to Harry and please gamble responsibly. 18+ gamblerware.org.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics. With over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
At Halfords, we want you to say yes to packing more into summer days with a great value roof box or bike rack. Say yes to freewheeling fun with bikes and gear for all the family. Say yes to a perfectly polished car with our range of car cleaning products. And say yes to easy breezy trips with a free aircon check. Our experts are on hand with checks, advice and fitting. So pop into your local store or shop online and say yes to summer at Halfords. Subject to availability, see halfords.com for full T's and C's.
This is LBC, leading Britain's conversation with Ian Payne.
I'm shaking my head every ad break. The boys are on me like ants devouring a beetle. It's just like, so now apparently they're dissing my nationality. You're not British. So we said iconic things to fit in Madame Tussauds. And one of them suggested Louis Theroux. And I said, yeah, British icon, but with a French name. And they went, yeah, but he's British. Well, actually, he was born in Singapore. And then they said, but you're not British either. And I said, what do you mean I'm not British? You were born in an RAF, what do you call them? RAF base in Germany, near Mönchengladbach. And I said, yes. He said, so you were actually born in you're German. And I was like, no, an RAF base, like any forces base around the world, like RAF Lakenheath, or, you know, like the American bases in Suffolk, they're sovereign territory. So that is effectively going to another country. That's why I tell you what, I tell you, the only time that being born physically in Germany, but technically in Britain, because it's an RAF base. The only time it's ever affected me is when ITV said, we want you to fly to Dublin because there's one of the girls was being touted as footballer of the year for the Ballon d'Or. You know, we're up against the men, and they thought it was a good story. So I was flying. So they said, quickly, have you got a passport? And I went, no. And they said, well, have you got a driving license? I said, yeah, no, I've got a driving license. So they said, right, we'll use that because it's a flight. We've got this special arrangement with Ireland about it's sort of like, sort of half Britain. Yeah, it's a domestic relationship that we have with Ireland. They said, that's all you need. So I went to City Airport and they wouldn't let me on the plane because it says on my driving license that I was born in RAF Wegberg, I think it was called, in Germany. And I said, yeah, but that's technically British Australia. They said, no, to fly to another country, you need a passport. You can't have that to prove that you're British. And it's the only time I felt, is the word disenfranchised? I felt like a lost migrant for a moment there, thinking, I'm not British anymore. What's going on? It was really weird. Really weird why they wouldn't accept it, but they wouldn't. So I had to go back and get my passport before I could go. We've done a little bit of investigation into the fictional county of Midsummer. It's not just a village, it's a county, is it? Where the show Midsummer Murders is set. We're talking about cosy crime has a significantly higher murder rate, you think, than the UK national average. Calculations place the Midsummer homicide rate at around 32 murders per million inhabitants, more than three times the national average. Is that all? This translates to roughly 3.2 murders per 100,000 people. So, Richard Osman from Pointless and various others. Huge. We were going to get Sean Wallace, my friend from the Chase. And now I haven't sorted out the greatest quiz team in history. Me and Sam the Wise, and we're just going to turn up one night with Sean Wallace, because I used to do quizzes with him, and with Richard Osman. And I think we'd win, don't you? I wouldn't say a thing, to be honest. So, the Thursday Murder Club was a book. It wasn't necessary for me. You used to work at Waterstones, didn't you, Al? And you had to read it. And again, you weren't a big fan. But we love those sort of things. I don't know why. And Steven Spielberg spent God knows how much. And it's coming out in August, straight to Netflix. And here's the trailer.
Our latest cold case is from May the 11th, 1973.
Oh, my God. Isn't this room usually for jigsaws?
Not on a Thursday, no. Welcome to Cooper's Chase. We investigate cold cases.
Everybody gather round!
We're a team.
All systems go.
Roger that.
There's been a murder. An actual murder. Now we've got a real case to solve, isn't it wonderful? Obviously, RIP and all that.
Who are you? I'm sorry, how rude of me. We're the Thursday Murder Club.
That float your boat, boys? Not really, bit meh. Great cast. I mean, they must be spending so much. So Celia Imrie, obviously. Pierce Brosnan. Helen Mirren. David Tennant. And Ben Kingsley. Wow, a lot of knighthoods and damehoods there, isn't it? And so presumably Pierce Brosnan and Helen Mirren will be reprising their roles from... Have you seen Mobland, which is a Irish gangster-type family? And, oh, my God, they play absolute basket cases brilliantly. Just crazy people you don't ever want to meet, to be honest. So the Thursday Murder Club... four irrepressible retirees spend their time solving cold case murders for fun, but then someone is actually murdered. Why do we love cosy crime so much? I've no idea. Thank you very much to all of you suggesting exhibits for Madame Tussauds. Madame Tussauds has decided to make a waxwork replica of a Greg sausage roll. I don't know whether it's vegetarian, vegan or whatever, but presumably it's got proper meat in it. I've never had one, but everyone else has. They are delicious, are they? Maybe I should have one this morning. Shall I go and have one this morning? Because Greg's will be open here in Leicester Square, a sausage roll. Just have it neat, No condiments?
No.
Okay, fine. Iconic British things. What would you put, Philip, in South Norwood?
I'm going to tell you, Ian, something happened to me. I was in Hawaii, and I went on a day trip, and we went to this Buddhist temple, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to take our shoes off to go inside.
Oh, yeah.
And when I came out, I'm putting my shoes on, and I was chatting to this young lady, you see. And I said, beautiful, isn't it, the temple? She said, yes. So she said to me, where'd you come from? So I said, well, I come from the UK, from London, you see. So she said to me, whereabouts in London do you come from, see? So I said, Croydon. And she turned round, she said, I've been to Croydon.
Really?
See? Yeah, and I said to her, I bet I know where you went in Croydon. And she looked at me. So she said, where? And I said, Luna House. Because that is the Home Office, or was the Home Office.
Right.
Where everybody who goes to get a, you know, their visa or whatever it is they go there for. Yeah, and that's where she'd been. So it was weird being in a beautiful place like that and talking about London and, you know.
Ah, wonderful.
Yeah, it was just, you know, just, I thought when you mentioned that, I never forget
so what,
that.
I'm a bit confused. So what is the exhibit you'd put in there?
Saying it was, this was nothing to do with the Tussauds. It was, you were talking earlier on about...
iconic British.
Yeah, about things, you see, because, I mean, people there, I mean, it's been there for years. I gather it's just closed down. It's going to be flats. And they've got a new place in Croydon for people to go to get their permits, visas, or whatever it is they get. And we have people that, I mean, over the years, people queuing at 4:30 in the morning.
Really?
It's a famous Croydon landmark.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, I didn't know that.
It's the place you go, as I say.
People queuing at ridiculous times in the morning reminds me of Brick Lane and the Jewish bakery. And
bakers is a big thing, isn't it, really?
Bagels.
Especially bread, and people will queue, you know. It's great going past the bakers.
I've never really understood the concept of a bagel, though. Why would you remove so much of the sweetmeat? Why would you do that? And then you have to cut them in half, and then you have to toast them, don't you? Yeah. You can't eat them raw. I can't. You have to toast
them. It's amazing the variation. I was in a supermarket the other day, a very big supermarket, and I was amazed at the range of bread.
Oh, amazing.
It's not just...
One of the hairy bikers, I think the guy who sadly passed away, he did his own series. So it was one hairy biker on his own, and he travelled around the world just trying every culture's bread.
Oh, did he though?
Yeah, it's amazing. Oh, it's bound to be online somewhere.
Yeah, when I was in Ireland all many years ago, they put in soda bread, and I didn't really like that.
But sourdough stuff is really, really sort of, it's a bit middle class, isn't it? What have you been doing today? Oh, I've been making sourdough. Have you? All right, fair enough. Sort of thing Justin would do in Reading.
Yeah. I always remember there was the great, what was his name? Johnny Morris. Do you remember Johnny Morris?
Yeah, and he
travelled a lot. Besides his programmes on animals, he loved to travel. He was actually inspiration for me, liking to travel.
Oh.
And he went to New York in 1967. Mm. It's on YouTube, incidentally, Johnny Morris in New York. And I always remember Johnny saying that he went into a restaurant and he sat down and they gave him his breakfast.
Mm.
And he said they gave him what he thought was plastic, but it was a bread roll. And he said it tasted like cotton wool.
Well, there's a few foods like that. Grapes, for example. You know, what's the point? Rice cakes, what's the point? Meringues, what's the point? You know, you might as well eat air, frankly. Thank you to all of those of you who've got in touch telling me your favourite murder from Midsummer Murders. But the crown has to go to Martin McCutcheon, ex-EastEnders and Love Actually. In the Midsummer Murders episode, Schooled in Murder, Martin McCutcheon's character, get this, Debbie Moffat, how does she die, Al? How does Martin McCutcheon's character cheese, correct? And in what circumstances does she die? Don't look it up. Are you looking it up? She is crushed to death by a giant wheel of cheese, apparently. What? I've got to see this. Could you put that online? I'd love to see how big was it? The episode is set at the home of the world-famous Midsummer Blue Cheese Factory, where Debbie works. The death occurs while Debbie is at work, and the cause of death is the falling cheese. Apparently. Oh, my God, you've got it. Go on, put it on. Oh, no, ads. Tell me when you get to the good bit. Let me know. That's amazing. What other way? Because they must have just run out of ideas to get people murdered, mustn't they? I mean, to be actually crushed by a giant wheel of cheese. So was it? So it's a murder. Somebody actually loosed the cheese wheel to kill her. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a murder, would it? If it was just an industrial accident, that wouldn't be very interesting. Actually, you're playing it now as I... She's wandering through the warehouse. Anyone here, she says? All right, OK. Brilliant. Martin McCutcheon. Oh, God, there it is. Oh, she really is killed by... Oh, dear, oh, dear. I remember her. I'll tell you my Martin McCutcheon story. It's a lovely story. I think I've probably told it before, but it's a lovely story.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 5 o'clock, the man accused of driving a car into a crowd at Liverpool's trophy parade is due to appear in court later. Paul Doyle has been charged with multiple offences, including causing grievous bodily harm with intent. 79 people were injured in Monday's incident. LBC's